That's what it means to be inspired. And so we have a sense of certitude. If anybody tells you that you can't count on the Word of God, on the Scriptures, because there's all kinds of errors and everything else, there's a very good Hebrew word that you can give them. And that word is baloney. Okay? Very famous Hebrew word, baloney. You can take joy in the Word of God. You can find joy. You can find a sense of certitude because it's the church that tells us that this is the Word of God, and the church is the pillar and the support of truth, Paul told us. So it is inspired. But where does the Bible fit into all that's Catholic? You know, when I came back into the Catholic Church, I was raised Catholic. I left the Catholic Church by screaming at a bishop and telling him I had had it with the church. I left, and I became a Protestant pastor for 12 years. When I came back into the church, I came back into this monumental institution that had the doctrine and the teaching didn't seem to have any boundaries or any end. I couldn't get my hand around it, you know. It was just so big. And then I got a hold of the Catechism of the Catholic Church when I walked into a Catholic bookstore. And I bought it, and I began to study, and I realized that the church has a great tradition with the Catechism. That there are a number of catechisms that have come out throughout the years, typically about 30 years after a council. And the catechism formula throughout church history has stayed the same. The catechism, which I hope that everybody has, and all of you folks watching by video, if you don't have a catechism, get a catechism of the Catholic Church. It's great because it takes the entire faith, it takes really all that we believe as Catholics, and it organizes it into four wonderful, convenient compartments called pillars. Four pillars to the faith. And those pillars are divided up and they're ordered in a particular way to teach you something. The first pillar in the catechism is the creed. It's the lion's share of the catechism. It's the largest section. I'll explain these in a moment. The second pillar of the catechism is the sacraments and the liturgy. The third pillar is the moral law, the Ten Commandments, and the fourth pillar is prayer. So you have the creed, sacraments and liturgy, moral law, the Ten Commandments, and prayer. It's organized very nicely. But the church in her wisdom wants you to pay attention to something, how they ordered the books. The first is the creed, and you ask yourself, what is the creed? Well, the creed was the original rule of faith that the church used to read Scripture to keep them on track. St. Augustine said that all of salvation history, which is from Genesis to Revelation, all of salvation history is in a tightly wound form in the creed. So it's like taking the whole story and shrinking it. This is what we believe. And in the early church, that became the rule of faith, the lens in which you would read Scripture through. It's like one of those little animals. Have you ever taken those little animals and it says on the package that if you put it in water, it will expand to 780,000 times its size or something like that, you know? You get that little animal, little dog, and you put it in the cup of water and the kids gather around and they watch it and not much happens. But then 4 days later, 6 days later, the dog is about that big. Well, that little dog is the creed. When you put the creed in water, it's reconstituted, and it becomes salvation history. Now, there's a reason why the story of salvation history is number one in the catechism. And that reason is because pillars 2, 3, and 4 all assume you know the story. And that's what we're going to be doing over the next number of weeks is we're going to be taking a look at the story, or what I call the big picture. That's what we're going to be taking a look at. Now, here's what's interesting. You have the story, and the second pillar in the catechism is the sacraments and the liturgy. What's that? That's how you get into the story. Through baptism, you are joined with Christ. And in the story, if you blow it, you go to confession. The sacraments are a means of grace to get in the story, stay in the story. But how many of you know just getting into the story isn't the end of it? Once you're in the story, what do you do? What do our children do? That's the third pillar. The third pillar is the moral law. It's the Ten Commandments, the life of Christ. Here's what it is. It's your personal script. It's what you're supposed to be living in the story. And so once you're in the story, now you know how to conduct yourself with one another and with your family, with finance, and you know, everything else. And then the fourth pillar is prayer, which is really the story of a soul. It's that intimacy with God as an individual in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but also as a community, because we are a community. This is Christianity is not a solitary sport where it's just you and Jesus. It is the family of God and the kingdom of God. And he has a structure which we're going to learn about over the next number of months and how he establishes his kingdom and he feeds us. So the Bible plays a very special role in our life as Catholics. It is our greatest family heirloom. The Bible comes from within the church. It's given by the church, meant to be interpreted by the church, and lived in the context of the church, hopefully to impact the world. We kind of have to get it out of our mind that it's just Jesus and me and my own interpretation. Now, there's some problems with reading the Bible, which we really want to focus on this evening. I mean, some real problems. And I know that a lot of you have attempted to read the Bible before, and you got all excited about it. And we expect, certainly, to open the Bible up and to open to Genesis chapter 1 and then begin reading all the way to Revelation and put it down and say, that was a great story. But it doesn't happen that way. Why? Because the Bible is written differently than Gone with the Wind. You might say, duh. It's written differently than Gone with the Wind. The Bible has 73 books in it, two testaments, an Old Testament and a New Testament, or what I like to call the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament. And it is organized by types of literature. There is poetic literature. There is prophetic literature, historical literature. There's epistles. Those are the wives of the apostles. You're going to learn a lot over the next number of months. There is apocalyptic literature. There's gospels. There is all kinds of literature, and that is the way it tends to be organized. The Jewish people know their stories, so they're not all caught up on it being like Gone with the Wind. They know their story. The problem that we run into is when we open it up at Genesis and we try to read through all the way to Revelation. And I know some of you have done this. You get all excited. I'm going to read through the Bible this year. I'm going to read through the whole thing. So you get all excited about reading through the Bible, and it's September right now. So what do? You go out and you buy a brand new leather Bible, because the old one doesn't work, okay? And so you go out, you get this brand new leather Bible with the gold edges, and you get all excited about reading through the Bible. You go out and get a nice little notebook that fits the size of the Bible so you can write down all your meaningful thoughts and all the deep things that God is going to reveal to you. And then you get a pen. But not just a pen like a Bic or a Parker. No, you get a Mont Blanc or a Waterman. Something that will express your true thoughts. Something that says, this is me. And so you get all excited. You got your brand new Bible, you got your notebook, and you got your new Waterman pen. And now you have to wait till January 1st. So. And we're Americans, aren't we? There's a starting point, there's an ending point. And so you get all excited and you open up on January 1st with your salivating, and you open it up, you're very, very excited, Genesis chapter 1, and you're looking there, and all of a sudden, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. You read, you get all excited, every day you're reading three or four chapters, and then all of a sudden March rolls around, and you stop.